Hear the word of God as it's written in the book of the Proverbs, chapter 28, reading verses 21 to 27. This can be found on page 501 of the Pew Bibles. The author gives us pearls of wisdom about our need to be aware of the needs of others. Proverbs 28, reading from verse 21. Hear the word of God. Showing partiality is never good, yet some will do wrong for a mere piece of bread. Greedy people try to get rich quick, but don't realize they're headed for poverty. In the end, people appreciate honest criticism far more than flattery. Anyone who steals from his father and mother and says, "What's wrong with that?" is no better than a murderer. Greed causes fighting. Trusting the Lord leads to prosperity. Those who trust their own insight are foolish, but anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. Whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to poverty will be cursed. Here ends the first reading. We turn to the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, reading verses 25 to 37, which can be found on page 792 of the Pew Bibles. Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan to explain how to obtain eternal life. Luke 10, reading from verse 25. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. The story of the Good Samaritan is perhaps one of the best known parables that Jesus told. It is the story of someone in need who receives help, not from those who would have been expected to provide it, but from someone who would have been expected to pass by. The Good Samaritan is symbolic in a way of Jesus himself. Jesus does not pass by on the other side of the road when he comes upon those in need. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He takes care of his flock, and we
are all his sheep. Last week I mentioned that Jesus is the one who has all authority here on earth. And I'd like to point out that that is not the same thing as orchestrating everything we do and everything the devil does. Jesus does not sit with a giant remote control in his hand, guiding everything we think, do, and say. There is a film called Click, in which the actor Adam Sandler is given a remote control that can control the whole universe. Now, I wonder how many of us here, if we're honest, would have to admit to wishing that we had that, when that certain someone who knows how to wind us up the wrong way, usually someone in our family, when that person is going on and on and on about something, how many of us would admit to wishing that we could point that remote control at them and just press the mute button? Maybe some of you wish you could point the remote control at me and fast forward to the end of the sermon. Or perhaps when you see something terrible happen in the world, you wish you had a universal remote control and you could press rewind so that you could go back in time and prevent the terrible thing from happening. But God is the only one with access to the universal remote control. But rather than point it at the whole of mankind and thus control all our actions, our thoughts, our words and our deeds, God lets us decide our own fates. If we were controlled all the time, we would be like robots. In a way, we would all be slaves, denied the freedom to choose, denied the opportunity to make mistakes, denied the opportunity to live our lives as we see fit. We would lose all the things that make us who we are. We would lose not just our freedom, we would lose our humanity. Jesus has the authority to stop what we do, but he chooses to allow us to have free will. And that means we are responsible for our actions and our thoughts. We are not robots, pre-programmed, traveling along a predestined path. Jesus will act according to his timetable. And at that point in time, all evil actions will be wiped from the earth. And those who have accepted his free offering of forgiveness, those who have repented of their sins and taken him as their saviour, will become righteous through the blood that he spilled on the cross of Calvary and be saved for all eternity. That's a promise. It's in the Bible, and God always keeps his promises. Last Sunday, my first grandchild, Rory Brunger, drew his first breath outside his mother's womb. He may have been a healthy 11 pounds and 1 ounce at his birth, but he is incapable of taking care of himself. And so it is with all newborn children. They depend upon someone, usually their parent, to meet their needs. And every one of us instinctively knows that young children have to be taken care of. Many may say it's nature's way. It's in our DNA, just as it is in the DNA of all living creatures. And I would suggest that it's also in the DNA of God. When wee Johnny got home from Sunday school one day, he told his dad he had a question for him. "Ask away," says his dad. Wee Johnny explained. The teacher was reading the Bible about the children of Israel building the temple, the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea, the children of Israel making the sacrifices. "So what's your question?" his dad asked. "Well," says wee Johnny, "what were the grown-ups doing?" We will always be God's children as far as God is concerned. No matter whether we are 1 week old, 59 years old, or 90 years old, God will always think of us as his children, and he will want to take care of us. Now, that is not to say that God will always give us what we desire or what we think we need. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, "If your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion?" Of course not. Only our Heavenly Father knows what is good for us. He knows whether or not it would be good for us to win the lottery. Only God knows whether or not the partner you may be dating is the one with whom you should spend the rest of your life. Only God knows if the job you are in is the one that you should be in according to his plan to prosper you and to bring you hope. But in times of trouble, we expect God to meet our needs. We pray, perhaps, for the first time in ages, and we expect God to obey our demand for healing, to sort out our finances, to pass our exam that we didn't study for, to get us out of the pit we have dug for ourselves, to mend the relationship we neglected, to miraculously fix the problem that we created and that we face. But what does God expect from us? Jesus, God's only Son, lays his life on the line for us. He sheds his blood, yet God expects nothing from us. Jesus suffers on the cross purely and simply because God loves us. Ask any parent who truly loves their child if they would be willing to die for them. And the answer must be yes if that love is real. And so it is with God. He loves us so much. He cares for us so much. He wants to spend eternity with us so much that he became one of us. Make no mistake that Jesus is God. And he gave his life for us. And he expects nothing. Nothing in return. But I'm no doubt sure that he hopes with all his heart that we accept his love. That we take him as our saviour. That we love him and want to stop doing the wrong things that he has to pay the price for. Because if we do that, if we take Jesus as our saviour, then on judgment day, when we are but newly born into the life hereafter, then because of the relationship we have built with Jesus while we were alive on this earth, he will not be an unexpected helper. He will be there just as he promised he would be. And yes, he will allow the sentence to be passed on us. And that sentence is death. For the price of any and all sin is death. And we are all sinners. But Jesus will step forward in our greatest moment of need. And he will claim us as his own. He will not allow the sentence to be carried out on us, for he has already taken the punishment we deserve upon himself. But woe betide those who have no relationship with Jesus, who may find him standing there as judgment is passed upon them, hoping without cause that he will be an unexpected helper. For Jesus himself warns, "Anyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But anyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven." Now, I'm not going to say who or who does not get into heaven. Jesus decides that. Only Jesus decides that. As he said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. Perhaps Jesus will weigh up your life and decide in his mercy to let you in because of all the good things you have done in the world. But the Holy Bible, the inspired Word of God, warns that you cannot earn your way into heaven. Only by the grace of Jesus may you enter. Even if you did millions of good things in your life and committed only one sin, that one sin would stop you from entering heaven. So why take the risk? Why leave eternity to chance? Jesus has already paid the price of your admission into heaven. Jesus has bought your ticket, and he meets us here this morning as he meets us every week. For he said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. He meets us as we are, where we are, in all our sinfulness, and he goes from chair to chair and stands in front of you and he stands in front of me, and he has a ticket for heaven in his hand, and it has your name written on it, and it has my name written on it, and it's written in his blood, and it's a free ticket. You don't have to do anything. Jesus has already paid the price of your sin in full. His blood spilled on the ground, his body broken on the cross. Because of his death and resurrection, he comes to you this morning, he comes to me and he says, I paid the price for your sin. I want to take it away from you. I paid the penalty. You don't have to do anything. Give me your sinful life, your sinful practices, all your selfishness, your greed, all your lies, your deceit, all your lusts and addictions, all your hatred and jealousy. And he says to you, see all these things that are wrong in your life, all the things that bind you to the past and bury you in remorse and guilt. Accept me as your Savior. Repent in my name. And in an instant, I'll take them away. In an instant, all your sins will be washed away. Why would you not accept what Jesus freely offers? An immortal body that is incorruptible. A house that is built for you by God himself. And the relationship with God that brings such joy that it is beyond our ability to grasp while we yet live here on earth. Jesus comes to us and wants to take care of our needs, and he offers us eternal life. Why would you say no? Why would you turn away from Jesus? Let him take care of your greatest need, your eternal need. For the short life we live here on earth is nothing. Nothing compared to the eternity you will spend in heaven or hell. For his name's sake, I pray you choose wisely. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, on this day you come to us as you do every day, and you offer us salvation, forgiveness, and mercy. Lord, open our minds to your love for us. Open our hearts, open our souls, and speak to us through your Spirit, that we may respond and come to know you and to love you and accept your free gift to us. And in doing so, you bring us a promise of eternity in your glorious kingdom, where every tear is wiped away, and where we'll come to know you and love you even more. This we pray by the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.